to Romans chapter 1, I just want to share some thoughts with you about the framework of my calling and really tie in with this video that we just talked about. Heidi and I were talking about imparting to people charisma. And really that's kind of our theme of our ministry this year, a theme of our lives. And it's what our conferences have been about. And it really is reshaping my calling and reclarifying what God initially gave me an assignment to do in 1981. Now, that's a long time ago, but that's when God put the phrase mutual faith in my spirit, and it came out of this passage. But I want to frame it this morning just a little bit, how it can influence your daily life and how it can bring such blessing and refreshment to you. So before we begin to teach, let's just pray together. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your life in us. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And so we're going to say so. We say by faith, we're not nervous about nothing. We're not afraid of the past. We're not afraid of the future. Jesus, you're Lord of all. I thank you that every person in this place at this moment has a believing heart. They're in a position to receive what you have for them. They're going to validate it by saying yes and amen to the love of the Father and the Word, the graced truth of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that every person in this place finds great help. They're going to have great hope. They're going to have a confidence, expectation of good that's coming this day and throughout this week and in their future through the wonderful love and the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in advance. Miracles are in the making even now. People's pains are disappearing. People's problems are being dismantled through the power of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I just preached myself happy. The service is over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go have lunch or brunch or something. Praise the Lord. Man. Now, here's the good news. Now, in 1981, God gave me an assignment for missions and for the nations called Mutual Faith. It wasn't going to be a ministry about Keith Hershey. It wasn't going to be a Keith Hershey ministry. It was going to be a ministry about God's people who would hook their hearts together. And so this phrase came out of Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says this, Paul the apostle, writing believers in Rome, he says, "For I long to see you," verse 11, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." Now let's just pause right there. Paul's personal passion for people in the ministry of the new covenant was to bring an impartation of spiritual gifts. But to me, that term is kind of a nebulous thought. What does it really mean? So it was just about 2 years ago that the Lord began to re-clarify my call. And I always used to teach this, really, is we impart to people, you know, spiritual assets from heaven for this earthly life. And it's true. You know, God has ingredients, you know, in Him that are available for this earthly living. And I always would teach people that really, in essence, you and I as believers become a spiritual distribution center. We're a warehouse from heaven in the earth to give people what they need in the love of the Father. But I actually took time to look the word up, you know, in the concordance, and it's the term charisma. The term gift here, spiritual gift, what Paul wants to impart is charisma. So Paul said, "I long to see you that I might impart to you charisma." Charisma is the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is the grace of God. In other words, Paul's personal passion was to impart to people what Jesus did on their behalf. See, what I like about this whole thing, about this whole new covenant or this renewed covenant system that Paul is initiating, is he seems the most unlikely candidate to have this assignment. Now, think about this. Paul the apostle was a religious professional. He was well trained in the law by the greatest scholars and leaders of his day. He says of himself, "I was a Pharisee of Pharisees." He says concerning the law, "I was blameless." In other words, according to his own way of thinking, he thought he was doing it pretty good. But see, the problem with living, you know, according to the law to find your favor with the Father is just never good enough. Because nobody can do it perfectly. And so Jesus, you know the story in Acts 9, knocked him off his high horse. Huh? He fell to the ground. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you terrorizing me?" And he had a conversation with Saul. Remember, he gave him the assignment then a little later in Acts chapter 9. And he told him to go to Damascus. I've been to Damascus. I've been to the place where he was let down, you know, in the basket in Damascus, where Acts talks about that. But he was told to go to a certain house, and there he would meet a certain man, a disciple named Ananias. And Ananias was going to give him information that would become revelation, that would bring preservation, where Saul would become Paul, where a terror religious man would become righteous, not through his work or effort to the law, but through a faith in one who performed perfectly, Jesus Christ. A righteousness that was by faith. And so you all know the story, how Paul then, it says in the next verse, after he spent many days and was trained and equipped with some truth of the finished work of Jesus, it says immediately he went out and he preached Christ. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is really about his work, not our work. It's about what he's done. It's not about what we do. It's about what he has done, and our faith is in the obedience of Jesus. Our victory over strongholds is in the obedience to Jesus. The strongholds that we're to tear down are to be brought subject to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So our victory is always found in the cross. That's why Paul would say, "I only glory in the cross." So I'm liking to tell myself, if I'm going to ever have the right solutions for every issue of my life, I better have the cross in my equation. See, a lot of times in life, people have challenges in their relationships or in their finances or in their world or in their life or whatever it is. And they're always trying to figure things out according to what they do. Well, thank God for your cooperation and your effort and your diligence and all these things. That's good and that's commendable. It's just not good enough. And I don't want to disappoint you, but you need Jesus. You need the finished work. You need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your equation if you're going to ever have a right solution. And it's important to understand that Paul, his personal passion was to impart charisma. Charisma. The full finished work of Jesus Christ, that in Jesus Christ, Paul later wrote to the church at Corinthians, that on the cross, in Jesus Christ, God was in Christ. Huh? 2 Corinthians 5. Reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing their sins against them. It's amazing that God decided to use an accounting term in that we can announce to the human race that there's really nothing against them. That their sins have been forgiven. That God was in Christ. That you by faith can believe and receive and walk in newness of life. It's wonderful. When I'm preaching in the Middle East, it's so exciting. Notice how the young babies get excited when I begin to preach. We need to introduce this little guy to Abigail. Praise the Lord. I like little kids. You know, my daughter-in-law, she's really precious. She told me, you know, when she's about 8 months along, she came to the mission center office and she said, "You know, Dad," she says, "I think what I'll do when Abigail's born is buy a playpen and just put it in the middle of your office so I can just come up here and work and Abigail can just be with you when you're in the office every day." And then she says, "I'm going to teach Abigail just to kind of bat her eyes at you and learn to get out anything she wants out of you." You know, these ladies, they're conniving against me. This is a problem. But I love the little kids. I love to just horse around with. I'm more comfortable with kids than with y'all. Hallelujah. I should just start attending children's church. Praise the Lord. You know, or work in the nursery or something. I have a good time. I really, really do. But anyway, I was preaching about something. What was it? Does anybody remember where I was at? Praise the Lord. You're still thinking about that brunch when I said we were going to dismiss after prayer. I know what all that's like. But anyway, God was in Christ, that's right, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins against them. So we can announce, be reconciled to God. Have a believing moment and have faith in his obedience. Because it's through the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, that the gift of righteousness is available. See, Even though Paul said he was blameless according to the law, righteousness could never be attained through the law. Because he later wrote in Galatians 2, if righteousness could be attained or obtained through the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. And so it's important that we understand Paul gets equipped in the love of the Father. And now his personal passion is to impart a new system or a renewed system. A covenant of grace. A covenant of Jesus' work to approve us before the Father, not our own work. And I tell you what, this to me is just, it makes my heart so very, very happy. I like to be pre-approved for things. You know, I just had to get a new credit card for this trip because United and Continental merged. Do you know that? And I used to always fly Continental Airlines everywhere. And so I'm what they call a platinum, which is the highest level of frequent flyers. And so I could go into the different clubs, president's clubs and different things and airports. And it's nice. You get internet, you get business lounges, you get food and just refreshment for business travelers. And I kind of like that because I never buy expensive tickets. I always fly coach. I fly as cheap as possible. But since they merged the beginning of this last month, November, I couldn't get into these lounges anymore. So I had to buy a new credit card that gave me a membership into this United Club, it's called now. So anyway, the first year was free, but I got it. And on this last trip to the Middle East, I took a friend with me. He's 78 years old. He's been to our campuses around the world. He's worked on the Ghana campus to rescue women from slavery. He's worked in the Philippines on our TV station. He's worked in Guatemala on our 17-acre campus. He just likes to put his hands to work. And he and his wife love to support some of the kids in the different projects and stuff. Precious. And so he wanted to go with me to Beirut. I said, come along, my friend. So we had a wonderful time. And when we were in the airports, like we had to fly through London on the way to Beirut. And so what I did is I said, hey, Floyd, you just be with me. If you hang with me, I got you covered. Now, if you don't want to trust in me, you're on your own. And let me tell you, when you're on your own here, you won't get the same kind of treatment. It's not because I'm better than you, but that I've been approved for access to things that you don't have access to unless you're in me. So I would go and I would just flash my card. They'd swipe it. They'd do it. And Floyd would get into these nice lounges and clubs and eat and drink and be merry just because he was with me. See, it's a picture of Jesus. Your faith in him gives you access to the Father, and it has nothing to do with your record. It has nothing to do with what a loser you are. It has nothing to do with how many mistakes you have made. It has nothing to do with how disobedient you've been. It has everything to do with the obedience of one. Your faith, I'm preaching so good now. Your faith in him, Jesus, gets you access to Club Heaven. Hallelujah. Gets you access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And so this is why I like to impart to people charisma. I like to tell people what's right about them. You have the capacity to believe you've been pre-approved. And that God will look at you not in and of yourself. He'll look at you covered by the card or the strength of Jesus the Christ. And Jesus paid the price. Floyd didn't pay nothing. Keith Hershey paid the price. Keith Hershey had to fly the gazillion miles. Keith Hershey had to have all the stress and headache of what it required to get in. Floyd just tagged along. Clueless. Absolutely clueless. But you know what was beautiful about watching Floyd in any of the clubs? Is to see his smile. Ear to ear. Just enjoying everything. In Beirut, then the club in Beirut, he kept going back to the buffet bar. He'd been three times. I said, Floyd, do you have any bit of self-control in you? He just smiled. He didn't give a rip. You know why? He'd been approved. He'll have whatever he wants to have. And just said, why don't you just come on into the family? Why don't you just enjoy the love of the Father? Why don't you let God celebrate you? Why don't you just let Him smother you in His massive love? Quit rehearsing all the nonsense of your human failure. You know, in the story of the prodigal son, the father wouldn't even listen to the repentant speech, which was all built on a fraudulent idea anyway. Because he didn't have a pure heart to repent. He was hungry. He just wanted access to the Father's club. You have full access in Christ. You have full favor. That's why I long to see people to tell them, listen, somebody else signed the deal. Come on in. Welcome. Because if you have an impartation of charisma, according to Romans 1, 11 and 12, look at it again. He says, I'm going to impart charisma. You're going to be established. It says that it's that you're going to be established. That is, verse 12, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Here's what I understand. When you've received, when you've validated, when you've agreed to coincide your life with one who's got the card, when you've coincided your life and stand along the one who's paid the price, you have access to everything. And according to this verse, it says you become established. People who are wishy-washy in their spiritual thinking don't have a clue about the finished work. They always think they're in and out. But I tell you what, you can be spiritually strong in the finished work of Jesus. You're established. And then it says you're encouraged. You know, I'm amazed today at how many times I'm discouraged. And I'm a gospel preacher. You know, I'm supposed to just shout the victory day in and day out, but I tell you, my mind, fear-filled thoughts visit me. I'm amazed how discouraged I can get. You know what I do when I'm discouraged? I let God love me. I get an impartation of the finished work. I let Him flash the card to me. Glory to God. I just receive of His love. I'm encouraged. I'm strengthened. Then I'm encouraged. You know, courage you got to take. Like I told Floyd, listen, my friend. You hang tight with me. Now, if you don't hang tight with me, you know, spend it out here with the masses. Hang tight with me, Floyd. You get access to this quick line. No, if you don't want to hang tight, go ahead and get through the masses of people line. What do you want? You can be qualified in me. Or you can just look to yourself and do it in your own strength and your own ideas and maybe still get things done, but it sure is going to be a chore. And you'll probably be ticked off along the way. But there's something that happens when you're encouraged, where you're emotionally strong in your soul. Then according to this verse, the third thing that happens when you have an impartation of charisma, your faith functions for others. You become otherly minded. You know, I'm amazed at how many people who love Jesus are so consumed with themselves. You know, most of us need to be, we're too addicted to ourselves. But I tell you, when you get a fresh glimpse of what Jesus has done, you want to impart it to somebody. You use your faith for others. Use your faith for the world. You know, faith is voice activated. I was talking to your pastor. We're talking actually about writing and getting materials, you know, in book form. And, electronic form and different things. And he was mentioning to me some software he has, which I have the software, but I haven't mastered it yet. But I was explaining, my son, Justin, when I went to Lebanon, our team leader there, his name is Saeed Deeb. He had an old iPhone that went haywire, so he needed a different one. So I told my son, Justin, that he could upgrade, that I would take his old one to Saeed and he could get a new one. He was so excited. But my son was showing me before I went to Lebanon that he's got this thing called Siri or something on the iPhone that you just talk to it. It does everything. I said, that's kind of cool. Everything's voice activated. You don't even have to train it. I have the old kind of software you got to sit there for like days and speak into it so it knows your voice and you're this, and you're sitting there reading your own books to the stupid machine, and you figure, how's that machine going to understand me? I don't even understand myself, you know what I mean? And you're trying to train the machine to understand. Now, this Siri thing just understands everybody instantly. It's just, the technology's cool. But see, faith is voice activated. When grace is granted and you receive it by faith, you say something and you become otherly minded. So you use your faith for others. So we need to impart charisma. I'm finding wherever I go and whatever I teach, even if I'm teaching on, you know, common sense, you know, just principles of life, I always put the cross in every equation. I always start within the finished work of Jesus Christ and build everything on that. And it's important. Otherwise, you can get sidetracked, because you can, you know, everything in the gospel, or let me say it this way, everything in the Bible is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Paul had to make a distinction to preach a new covenant or a renewed covenant of what Jesus has done. Otherwise, you're going to get addicted to your doing and your effort and trying to be approved through what you do. And eventually that will bite you, because you're just not that good. And the problem with living under the system of approving yourself, there's an attachment to that system called a curse. The curse of the law. That's why even when people read Deuteronomy 28, well, it starts with if you can do it all. If you can do it all, then. Well, you know, the first 15 verses are pretty exciting, but the next few are a bummer. It's the curse of the system. It's the curse of the law built on your obedience. That's why in the renewed system, it's built on the obedience of Jesus one. Our faith is in His obedience. It's the obedience of faith. And there's a joy. Our life then becomes a cooperation with His life. And it is so beautiful. So continue to impart to people charisma and show them how to receive the full finished work, the grace of God. Now, the way you receive grace is really by not trusting in yourself, not being addicted to yourself, humbling yourself. And that's what the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 and 6, it says this: likewise, you younger folk, submit yourself to the older folk. Yes, all of you be submissive to each other. You know, that's a tough sentence, isn't it? Being submissive one to another. Yielding. Just being nice. Wouldn't it be nice if people were nice? You know, people can be mean. You know, people in churches can be mean. People can love Jesus and be mean. Just keep looking straight ahead. Hallelujah. Anyway, it's... The Bible says we humble ourselves. In other words, we don't have an addiction to ourselves. And then it says, be clothed with humility, where you look to His work, not your work. You look to identify with the strength of His card, not your own life. You cooperate, you yield, you flow, you behold Him, you become like Him. His nature is your nature. When you're clothed with humility, it says God will resist those who are addicted to themselves. God resists the proud, but He gives grace, charisma, to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God will lift you up. I love to just be picked up. Lifted up. I don't like to be let down. Have you ever just been let down? You're ready to get a promotion or a job or something, and it's, everything falls apart. We have a thing going now in Lebanon. It just troubles my soul so much. It's just so complicated because it has to do with the government, this, and has to do with registering our building there. And, you know, so we got this lawyer now on it, and that bothers me because, you know, everything costs money. I get so frustrated. None of you are like that. That's what I like about you. And then all they do is they tell me about the worst case. Because the government's always closing down over there and shutting down and new governments. And then everything fails and there's no government for 6 months. And empty promises, you know. Empty promises I always let down. Then I get angry. I'm not real pretty when I'm angry. I'm really not. I'm very acquainted with my humanity. You know, you don't need to tell me what's wrong with me. I already know. I'm very well acquainted with my flesh. It's frail. It fails. I'm not perfect in my obedience to the promises. Thank God that I don't have to qualify through me. I qualify through the one who loved me. And he loved me and proved it while I was still a sinner. He loved me as I was, believing that I would look to him and be transformed, and then through my lifetime of with him, I would become like him. I've not fully made it. Heidi can testify to that. But that's why I still keep going and still keep receiving his love. And he's so wonderful. But God will lift you up. He won't let you down. I hate those let down feelings. They're a bummer. But grace granted picks you up. Old Floyd, man, in these clubs. Sitting pretty. Wouldn't it have been cool if I said, Floyd, you know, sorry, my friend, you're such a loser. You're not near as good as me. You don't travel as much as me. You don't get the perks. You don't get the blessing. I'm going to go in the lounge and eat, drink, and be merry. You be here out here with all the other lowlifes of the world. You know. Isn't that a terrible thought? But see, Jesus, he takes us in. Because he's qualified everybody. He's qualified the whole world. All we have to do is announce to everybody. See, my card in this natural illustration is only good for one. Or if my family could get in. But Jesus, his obedience is good for everybody. See, that's why we need to go out into the terminals of life and point to the one who's the door to the club. Say, he signed for you. Hold your head high. He's forgiven your sin. Come on in. Receive of his life. Receive of his nature. And as you behold him, you become like him. You become like him. You're transformed into the very image of his dear son. Hallelujah. So grace is granted by not being addicted to yourself. And not being addicted to your obedience. Because your obedience will fail you. I hate to announce it to you, but it's the truth. You have to be addicted to the obedience of Jesus. And your obedience becomes a cooperation in his love for you. Then you're strong. You're strengthened. The other way grace is granted is through the knowledge of Jesus. That's what it says in 2 Peter 2. Man, I'm going to have to stop. Y'all having a good time? 2 Peter, actually chapter 1. Verses 2-4. It says, your growing knowledge and acceptance of Jesus and his finished works positions you to believe and receive charisma, the grace of God. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through him, the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given or have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these promises we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. You know, there's a grace escape of corruption and lustful things. The knowledge of Jesus and in the graced truth, the truth of grace in the living word of Jesus will free you from corruption, lustful corruption. You know, Titus, Paul wrote in Titus, he said, grace, when it's granted, always teaches you to deny ungodliness and live in a righteous realm. Live in your holy, blameless realm in this world through the nature God's granted you in Christ Jesus. There's a grace escape from all the filth, the contamination that wants to settle in your system and make you in the doldrums. That's why it's important we just let God love us and we understand what the finished work of Jesus is all about. Let me share one other verse, then I'm going to be all done. I'm going to pray for you because I'm getting hungry and I want to see if Pastor Jan's going to feed me today. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to the airport and go to the club. Hallelujah. That's what I mean. Because I got a card. Hallelujah. Now, I can eat free there. Praise the Lord. Who wants to go with me? Hallelujah. We'll have us a party. Glory to God. Yeah. We're approved in Jesus. Look at this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. If you got that verse, friends, you can put that up there. In fact, I'm gonna wait till they bring it up there because I'll turn to the Bible here. Oh, there it is. Okay. Therefore, he says, I remind you to stir up the gift. You know that word gift there is the word charisma. See, you have to constantly remind you of the work of the cross. Always. That's in the foremost thought of all my thinking. When I wake up in the night, you know, I don't know if it's my time clock still on Lebanese time or what, but like even last night, I woke up at like 2 in the morning in the hotel here and stayed up till like 5 o'clock and just was like wide awake. You know what I tried to do? Keep my mind focused on the finished work of Jesus because my mind was struggling with me. My mind was struggling with me. And I had all kinds of worst case scenario thinking, visiting me about Lebanon and other places that we're working. And it scares my natural man. It scares the heck out of me. And the only way Keith Hershey can get delivered, I just trust you. I got to trust the one who carries the card. The finished work of Jesus Christ. And so I stirred myself up in the charisma. I humbled myself. You know, when you don't look to yourself, it's your victory. Your victory is when you look to Him. So you stir yourself up in the charisma of God. He talks about which is in you through the laying on of hands and different things. It can be applied in many different elements. But just the term itself I like. Because I never knew that term in that context was the term charisma. It's imparted to people. That's why always let the finished work of Jesus anchor your heart. And what happened at the cross, all your sin was placed on Him before you ever committed them. It was eternally forgiven before you committed it. It's amazing. It was judged eternally. And it's an eternal redemption through Jesus Christ. And He's covered you. For the ages to come, He's covered you. Just hang with Him. Come close. That's why He says, hey, come to me. Come. All of you who are laboring, trying to prove yourself, all you who labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Your rest. You know, faith is never a work. It's a rest in His work. His work is the only work that works for you. And I'm done preaching. Did you like the word? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Put your hands on your heart. Father, these are your people. These are your kids. These are your children. Let them receive of your love. Just validate God's goodness to you, friend. Just quietly in your soul, quietly in your mind, just say amen to Jesus. In your own way, say, Jesus, I'm siding with you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I'm covered by you. Jesus, I have the gift of righteousness. I am right with God, not because of myself, but because of yourself. Thank you for covering me. Thank you for signing for me with the blood. It's the blood that took away the sins. Thank you, Father. I'm eternally accepted. I'm eternally loved. I'm eternally favored. I'm eternally forgiven. And I'm going to keep looking to you and be like you. Father, for the issues of people's lives where they struggle, thank you that our freedom is in Christ. For any of us who have issues, who have sin problems, whatever they are, let us not live disappointed with ourselves, but let us look to you and know that we are forgiven and we are equipped in the grace of God to have victory and prevail in all things. Father, I pray for those who are sick in their body, those who are sick in their soul, those who are depressed, those who are discouraged, those who are angry, those who are ticked off, those who are frustrated. Father, any folk in here who are like me, just a needy person, God, fix them fully through your love for them and let them say thank you and walk in faith to what you've done. I thank you for manifesting your goodness and grace, your power. Every disease in any body, we arrest it and we release it from your system in Jesus' name. You're healed through the cross of Jesus Christ. You're whole through the name that's above all names. You're well because of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord, friend. Listen, I'm looking forward to tonight. So bring a friend, bring an enemy, whatever you want, 6:30.